This is going to be the second lesson. As always, before we get started, I'd like to have a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for everything that you do for us every day. Father, at this time, as we study your Son, we ask you to be with us as we go through these lessons. Help us to be faithful to you, to tell the truth always, and to help our children learn about your Son. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, lesson two, Jesus the Nazarene. Why is that important? Why is Nazareth important? It's where he lived, right? It's where he grew up. He was born in Bethlehem, but he grew up in Nazareth. Now, the main thing that you're going to see out of this is that that Nazareth, basically what people have tried to do is erase it from history. There are, and I will name some of the gentlemen that did this, but the basic thing is that there, for a while, they tried to prove that Nazareth was simply not real. It wasn't a real place. That there are, I mean, I'll go ahead and just read this real quick. The historicity of Jesus Christ, although assumed in Christian circles, is certainly under attack by many others. Now, what they're basically saying is he really a historical figure? Was he really a man like us? Did he walk the earth? One of these is a man named Dan Baker, who came out and talked about he used to be a preacher of some kind, I'm not sure which denomination, but then he became an atheist, and he wrote, "The gospel stories are no more historic than the Genesis creation accounts are scientific. Is it rational to conclude that the New Testament Jesus is a myth?" Now, what he's trying to say is yes, but the whole thing, I find it interesting that he uses Genesis as a proof, because Genesis is not supposed to be scientific. It's supposed to be a work of God. God literally snapped his fingers or whatever it is he did, and the universe came into building, their being. There was not anything scientific about it. A lot of people in the science community, and obviously evolutionists, try to tell you that if it wasn't scientific, then it couldn't have happened. Well, there are many cases where we can't really explain how things work, but they work. And the same thing with this. Genesis is not supposed to be scientific. It's supposed to be supernatural, and that's what it is. Okay, we're going to talk a little bit, because sometimes you'll hear these when you're out in your daily lives, that another person talks about, her name was Judith Hayes, and she's an author, and she basically, again, questions the historical figure of Jesus. He may have existed, she says, but then again, he may not have. Now, what that really says is he didn't. That's what they're trying to say. But they don't really have any scientific proof one way or the other. The only thing that they tried for a while to do to prove that Jesus did not exist was they tried to prove that Nazareth is not real. It wasn't a real place. And there are a couple of others here. Raphael Lataster, I'm not sure who that is, but he is another atheist. And he says, "I argue that with the Christ of faith already dismissed by mainstream secular scholars, it is very reasonable to doubt Jesus Christ existed at all." But you notice they say secular scholars. What's a secular scholar? It's obviously somebody that believes in science only. And because of that, he doesn't believe in a Christian background of any kind. They believe, and there are a lot of those around. I can remember in high school, even though that seems now like it was a long time ago, where you had people that spoke that way about it, that they were not interested in what the Bible says. They were interested, remember the big deal for so long was evolution. You know, Charles Darwin was basically the scientist's god because he had the theory of evolution. They worked it to the point where they said that it wasn't a theory anymore, that it was true. Unfortunately for them, now it's been proven that it's not true because you can't see it today. Evolution does not work today, not in the way that they think it does. You can't go because they don't have a beginning. We have a beginning. They don't have a beginning. The only way they can say that evolution works is if something came from nothing. And that is against evolution. Something can't come from nothing. Therefore, their whole scientific study is gone. It's not worth the paper it's written on. But even today, they don't like to admit that unless you push them. Now, there is evolution that does work, like the different breeds of dogs, the different breeds of cats. What they call an evolutionary work being done when you see that. When you see that one cow is like this and another cow is twice as big, even though they're both cows, that's the point. They're still both cows. Now, when a dog becomes a cow, that's the type of evolution that does not work. But that is what Charles Darwin actually said was the way things work, that everything came through that process, everything, which we know today is just not true. You just can't get a cow out of a dog. It doesn't work. Now, when we're talking about Jesus himself, you have many famous people that we would call scientists that have, written books and talked about it. But the main thing I want to talk about today is about Nazareth. Now, where was Nazareth? Nazareth is in Judah. It's not that far from Bethlehem. But they have tried to basically erase it from history, saying that basically, some of them will even go so far as to say that it was a place, but nobody lived there. So I'm not sure what the difference is, but they have tried to prove that Nazareth did not exist. There's been books written, The Myth of Nazareth, The Invented Town of Jesus. That's an actual book that went out. And it was basically supposedly done through 8 years of painstaking research to prove that that Nazareth did not exist. Now, other people have talked about this, basically saying that Christianity cannot survive unless that book can be refuted. The first thing you have to remember, because believe it or not, scientists use this all the time, even though they don't like to bring it out to people, that they will say that the absence of evidence is not evidence of absence. Scientists use that all the time, except when they don't want to, which is basically what it really happened. There are sometimes very good reasons why some things just, they haven't been found. But things are still here. I mean, you don't know where it came from, but it came. And what's better, say that it was created by God or that it just appeared one day? Now, the second problem with what they say is that they try to come up with the fact that they think that Nazareth was not inhabited in the first century. Now, Isaiah once wrote, "They shall be shamed and also disgraced, all of them. They shall go in confusion together." The Nazarene does have enemies. He had them back then, and he has them now. They talk about, the historical part of Nazarene. Well, what they don't really think about is that, Christ was born during the time of the Roman Empire, right? The Roman Empire actually controlled Israel, Judah, that whole area during the time of the birth of Christianity. Now, the Romans were not Christians, the vast majority of them. They didn't like Christians, but they did write about them. And you can look at secular Roman examples of them talking about them. Tacitus, who he was an upper-class Roman. He lived from about AD 56 to AD 117. He hated both Christians and their namesake, Christ. He had absolutely nothing good to say of either of them. But he did have something to say about both of them. So even though he didn't like them, he admitted that they existed. You can look back at the fact that you remember the Emperor Nero. He was not supposed to be a very nice person, and he just made up reasons to accuse Christians of anything, and then he would execute them, because at that time the Roman Emperor, to the Romans, he was basically God. He could do anything he wanted at any time. Suetonius was another early writer who wrote around the time AD 120, and he had access to imperial records, senatorial archives in the Roman Empire, and much of his information about the emperors Tiberius, Caligula, Claudius, Nero comes from those Roman records. Now, twice in his history, Suetonius specifically mentions Christ or his followers. Here's one where he talks about, "Because the Jews of Rome caused continuous disturbance at the instigation of Crestus, and they expelled them from the city." Well, Crestus is another way to say Christian. Punishments were inflicted on Christians, a sect professing a new and mischievous religious belief. Now, this is actually what they said about it. And yes, they hated it. But the point is, they talked about it, they wrote about it, so it was there. In Acts 18:2, Luke mentions the expulsion of the Christians by Claudius, the historical source and the biblical source agree then that yes, during this time period, Christians were told to get out of Rome. And there's a 1993 work called The Historical Figure of Jesus, where this author's name is E.P. Sanders, noted that Christus is a misspelling of Christos, the Greek word that translates the Hebrew Messiah. And he hated, Suetonius hated Christ and his band of, he calls them rebels. So you didn't know you guys were rebels, did you? And, but also along this time, another Roman administrator named Pliny the Younger came about. He was early in the 2nd century AD. And I've heard of the word Pliny, but I don't have any idea who he actually was. But he was sent by the Emperor Trajan to govern the affairs of Bithynia. And Pliny corresponded back and forth with the emperor about the problem. And now it's almost amusing if you don't really think about what's happening, but it's very matter of fact. I was never present at any trial of Christians. Therefore, I do not know the customary penalties or investigations of what limits are observed. He then went on to say, this is the course that I have adopted in case of those brought before me as Christians. I ask them if they are Christians. If they admit it, I repeat the question again. If they admit it again, I repeat it a third time. The third time I repeat it, I threaten capital punishment if they persist. If they persist, I sentence them to death. Court was a lot simpler back then, apparently. But now, in a way, it's almost amusing, but obviously since it was really happening, it's not. But it was that simple. They would just, if people admitted that they were a Christian on pain of death, then they were executed, thousands of them back then. Pliny used the term Christian or Christians 7 times in his letters. He used the name Christ 3 times, referring to the leader of this sect. That's what the Romans called it. It was a sect. The point that I'm trying to make is that because of the evidence that is written down, and we have it to this day, you can't say that there was no such thing as Christ or the Christian church. And people today are still trying to say it, but it just doesn't hold water. The bottom line in all of this is, and this is a good paragraph, so I'm going to read it. They verbally stripped him of his sonship, denied his glory, and belittled his magnificence. Yet even though they were far from the whole truth of who he was, they absolutely documented that he was. So nobody can say that Christ was not a real person, because they write about him all the time. And, I mean, these are people that hated him, that hated Christians. And yet they wrote about him, said, yes, he was a real person. There are some accounts in Roman records, even of his miracles. And they actually admit that they occurred. But they still try to erase him and try to erase this sect that he started. There are examples in the Jewish literature at the time. I've heard of the Talmud, but I've never heard of this other one called the Mishnah that was recorded around AD 200. Rabbis talked about it, and they talked about this person as if he was a person of influence, as Jesus had existed in the land of Palestine during the first century. Surely the rabbis would have had something to say about him. Now, they did talk about him in a negative sense, but they did admit that he was there. He was real. He was a person. Now, earlier rabbis whose opinions were recorded in some of these writings, Jesus of Nazareth was a transgressor in Israel who practiced magic, scorned the words of the wise, led the people astray, and said that he had not come to destroy the law but to add to it. Now that is actually what a Jewish rabbi said. And they admit that he was hanged on a cross on the Passover Eve for heresy. Some of the other records talk about the works of Christians that they did, that they were, and the Romans thought this was strange, that Christians tried to do good for other people. And the Romans didn't understand that. But they wrote it down. And they actually wrote that we don't know why they're doing this, but they're doing it. And many of you have probably heard of the Jewish writer named Josephus. He lived from basically AD 38 to AD 100, and he was a historian. He wrote between AD 93 and AD 94, he wrote basically a book, and he taught a lot of people today call it his Antiquities, the Antiquities of Josephus. People, you'll hear that term. And here's just a little blurb of what he had to say. And when Pilate had condemned him to the cross on his impeachment by the chief men among us, those who had loved him at first did not cease, for he appeared to them on the third day alive again, the divine prophets having spoken these and thousands of other wonderful things about him. And even now the tribe of Christians, so named after him, has not yet died out. In fact, it continues to grow. Now that was written by Josephus. And he was not a Christian, he was a Jew. But he was writing a history for the Romans of what they did in that area. In his Antiquities, he talks about a man named James, the brother of Jesus, who was called the Christ, and certain others. He accused them of having transgressed the law and condemned them to be stoned to death. So you can see that even though they don't like them, they talk about them. So something had to be real in all of this Christianity stuff. Okay, there are others. H.G. Wells didn't like Christians. He wrote about some things about it. But he did write that Jesus was a Jewish teacher. Many people believe that he performed healings and exorcisms. He was rejected by Jewish leaders. He was crucified under Pontius Pilate in the reign of Tiberius. Despite his shameful death, his followers who believe that he was still alive spread beyond Palestine, so that there were multitudes of them in Rome by AD 64. And this is somebody that's writing a history. So the evidence, by the way, I almost forgot, one of the books that was written about Nazareth not being there, a year after it was published, they discovered that Nazareth was there and that people lived there in the first century. So I guess that book doesn't sell many copies now. But one of the things that's interesting about the Bible too is just the fact that if you compare it to other literature that was written at the time, it like just outdistances all of them. There are a few examples. Okay, how many of you have heard of Homer's Iliad? It's for about Greek history, supposedly. Well, supposedly the number of actual manuscripts of that, there's 643 of them that you can go and look at if you have permission. We just talked about Josephus. There was 120 manuscripts of that floated around during the first century. Okay, Tacitus, that was another one. Supposedly there are 20 manuscripts of that are still around. Now, the New Testament, actual Greek manuscripts written in the first century, there are at least 5,874 of them, which is, you know, big numbers, but the point of them is they all absolutely agree with each other. At least 90 is that these books were quoted, listed, cataloged, harmonized, cited as authority by different writers, Christian and pagan, right back to the time of the apostles. So people that try to say that none of this stuff happened, it happened. Just some other evidences that you can look at. Even our Christian calendar, which, you know, they don't call it that anymore. They just call it a calendar. But that's really what it is, because it's virtually the same as it was back then. The way that Christians even reckon time is based on the Gregorian calendar that reflects a Christian worldview. So even the way that we look at time is based on Christian views back then. The bottom line of all this is that 2,000 years ago, after his death, Even now, there are over 2 billion people in the world that claim to be Christians. Now, that does include all the denominations, but still, 2,000 years later, there's still 2 billion people that believe that Jesus is who he said he was. Okay, critics do not like having to admit it, but they cannot successfully deny the fact that Jesus had a greater impact on the world than any single life before or since. And the one interesting part of this, most of them, if you pin them down, they will admit it. They don't like to admit it, but they will admit it. So even they, at least to a certain extent, know who Jesus was, know what he did, and know that the effect of his life is still going on today. So the bottom line of all this, you know, if you want to have a conclusion, is that the Nazarene, Jesus Christ, did exist. He lived among men, and he lived in Judea, and died there, and rose again.